Someone may ask, what is Jesus Christ like? What is the Holy Spirit like? What is the kingdom like? He's the most wonderful, most beautiful person in all the universe. He's the one that we were created for. He's the one who created us. He's the one who created all that we see and all that we know. When we find Him, truly, when we get to that fourth phase, He cancels us, which is the greatest thing that could happen. He cancels all the negatives and the challenges that we have, those deep needs. He meets them fully, completely. When we drink the water, when we eat the bread, we will never thirst. We will never hunger again. All our deepest needs and wants and desires and longings are all met. Amen. Welcome to Wonder Reality, continuing the series on the anointing, the kingdom of God, the presence and the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes things can be so hard, so many challenges, and we as human beings, we are born into trouble. I know, we all face it. Sometimes we don't know what to do or who to turn to or how to deal with certain things. Believe me, I know, I understand. If you're facing some challenge, a challenge, if you're facing deep needs, what's the answer? Well, yes, there's practical things that we need to do as humans. And Wonder Reality even wants to help with those. If you listen to that previous message, the real answer, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence and glory. He meets all of our deepest needs, every need. That's why Jesus kept talking about the kingdom. That's why it was His main message, the kingdom. Even in our walk with Jesus, we have so many questions and so many dilemmas in our own mind and in our own. We're wondering, what's the answer to this, and why does this happen, and why is it like that, and 100, maybe more. Call them hang-ups, issues, questions, things that we wonder about. Why? He's the answer to all of them. In other words, someone, if you ever discuss with someone, just in a very honest discussion about Christianity, they will present these problems, won't they? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Don't even talk about religion. Don't talk about this. It just, and usually it ends up in a negative result, right? And this is not religion. It's a relationship with the Almighty. People, one of the things they present is, look at the Christians and the Catholics, that's the last thing in the world that I would want to be like. Last thing in the world that I want to do. Become a Christian and do it just. I mean, people avoid that like the plague. They see religious activity. They see people who are maybe self-righteous, or they see people who don't have any power. They're no different from anyone else. In fact, they're often sometimes worse people, or they, you know, whatever. All of that stuff. There are certain answers to those things. Human beings always mess up and screw up whatever we do. Don't look to human beings. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look at people. Don't ever look at people. I bring these things up because there's so many things that keep us from the one thing that we should be doing, seeking Jesus Christ and His glory. That's what we should do. We all miss it. And so I'm trying to build hunger in myself and anyone else to continually present this glorious revelation and truth and so much more. Jesus through the Holy Spirit, His glory and presence, which is available to every person on the earth. Every person. And yet, 0.00001% even get close to the fourth phase. Very few, very few. We got back from this trip. We were in the state of Florida. A lot of great people there. A lot of great followers of Jesus. A lot of churches and ministries, but there's also a lot of worldliness. People seeking everything but Jesus Christ. I want to give some practical information that could have been included in previous messages but was not. The message about hell. Very serious. We need to always be balanced. Let's focus more on heaven and on the glorious presence of Jesus, not on hell. But remember, Jesus talked about hell more than He talked about heaven. Taught about and preached about and talked about hell more than He taught about heaven. Quickly, there's five places in the underworld that are all amazingly, in the middle of the earth. They are paradise, which is actually now changed and is not let me say, I am not an expert on the five places in the underworld, but I want to at least present them. So there's paradise, Sheol, which is also called hell, Tartarus, the pit, and the lake of fire. Sheol is hell. That's where lost souls are right now, and there's also demons there. Satan is often there. Tartarus is the prison for fallen angels. They are kept in chains there right now. And remember, there's millions of fallen angels that rebelled with the devil. Let's always look at the big picture. God had to create a big place for all of these beings. It's just mind-boggling. But remember that hell's in the middle of the earth, shaped like a human body lying on her back with arms outstretched. That's where hell is, and it confirms the Bible. The Bible, you know, everyone says, oh, it's got to be scriptural. You know, have to be. People are more militant about that than they are about the Holy Spirit. And it kind of bugs me. And I want to make a point about that in a minute. But it's in the Bible. Hell is beneath you. Hell beneath me has, you know, that's in Isaiah. There's many scriptures. Just look them up. There's more than 100 scriptures about hell in the underworld. And they're all in the book that our ministry has published, Hell, 13 Testimonies from a Real Place. You can get that book for free on our website, wonderreality.org. Then the pit is the home of demons. Remember, the demons asked Jesus and said, don't send us to the abyss, which is called, also called the pit. I believe that was the actual words. But this is the place that they live, and they at times come up to the earth, and they try to find a human to live in, or an animal. Remember, Jesus talked about demons, and he said when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. There's a whole teaching about that that really reveals a lot about demons. And remember, they were a pre-Adamic race on the earth that the devil, when Lucifer was cast out of, Satan was cast out of heaven, went down and enslaved that race. And again, there's millions of those beings. So this is just mind-boggling that long before human beings were created, there were millions, billions of angels in five classifications. One third of them rebelled with when Lucifer tried to overthrow God, and then there was a pre-Adamic race, which I've just learned recently. This pre-Adamic race was half man, half animal. This sounds like something in a Hollywood movie, doesn't it? Well, Hollywood movies are nothing compared to the real, the spiritual world and what's happened in history, and as God has dealt, worked with mankind and redeeming mankind. Nothing even comes close, and nothing comes close to the glory of the Lord. His glory, His majesty. The one who created us and created us for Himself. And then the lake of fire. The lake of fire right now is again beyond our really comprehension, but is I believe it's in the middle, it's in the earth, and hell, Sheol, will be thrown into that one day. We know that from Revelation. Quickly about the demons, half man, half animal. How do we know that? Well, we know from Scripture that demons can talk. And we know from modern day, when ministers deal with demons, often they talk. So they're not just animals. They go through dry places seeking rest. They can move from place to place, and they need rest. So that's like animals and humans, right? They're awake, and then at times they need rest, and they can remember places that they've been. So they go back to that place that they were, Jesus said, and they find it clean and swept and taken care of. And so then they can plan and strategize. They go and get seven other demons and come back. So the key with that whole teaching is keeping ourselves with Jesus Christ, covered with the blood. We're in the safest place in the world, in the universe. Safe, walking with Jesus, we have the greatest power in the universe with us. He who's, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. He who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. So we have power even over the enemy himself. So we're fine. But that is one important teaching Jesus gave that reveals a lot about demons. As I give these practical teachings, I want us to always look at the big picture. Let's continually keep that in mind. And when we learn that God created man 6,000 years ago in His own image of all of His creation, again, billions of angels, the pre-Adamic race, which is millions upon millions of those, and these angels, the five classifications, who are just awesome. One angel that we encounter, we're every human being in the Bible that encounters an angel, they just fall on their face and they fall down as though just in awe of the power, the presence of God Almighty, and hit the glory of God on the angels and the power of God that they carry, and it's just awesome. There's five classifications, and the main ones that we know of are the ministering angels. They minister to mankind. Jesus said, be careful not to offend a child, because their angel always sees the face of the Father in heaven. That's awesome. Every child has an angel. And I've heard some teachers say, well, that means that every person, every adult has an angel. Some famous scriptures, Psalm 103:20. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, you angels. This is a different translation. You mighty ones who carry out His plans, listening for each of His commands, obeying the voice of His word, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Those are some other. So let's keep it simple again. As always, when we are in line with God Almighty and we're walking with Him, humbling ourselves before Him, and we are expressing His words, not ours, not words of fear, but words of faith, His words of glory and majesty and faith and hope and love, and then angels, specifically even our angel, but other angels, I do believe they respond to that. And it says right here in the Bible, obeying the voice of His word, hearkening unto the voice of His word, obedient to His commands. So we can put that into practice, and I do believe that helps us. And generally that, of course, is just a great thing to do, is to be in line with Him and so forth. Now, earlier I did say something about how so many people put so much emphasis on the Word and on the Bible. Well, here's my take on that. I'd like to say the most important thing in our walk with Jesus is our relationship with Him, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The kingdom, the anointing, the presence of Jesus. And I've said this before, that's 100% of it. And I encourage anyone who will listen is that that's what we should be focusing on and doing and seeking, and everything should be focused on that. And all these wonderful things will flow from that. Yes, the Word of God will flow from that. Our personal life of harmony in our personal life will flow from that. When He comes in, He brings peace and joy and faith, hope and love and harmony and all these wonderful things. Our ministry will flow from that. He'll bring us to the right people that He wants us to be with. He'll give us peace in the midst of the storms of life. He will help us forgive those people who have hurt us. That's a big one. He will help us deal with those people who are so hard to deal with, that drive us crazy, that make us mad, that hurt us. And we will be able to forgive them, which is such a key. All of this flows from that relationship with Him. What I see so much, and I saw this in my own life, so many followers of Jesus, they seek the Word almost more than they seek the one who wrote it. They're so intent, focused on the Bible and the Word and all of that, and they just, you know, they go right to the Bible and read the Bible, and yes, there's the Bible's wonderful, and there's wonderful scriptures that are beautiful, and you know, Psalms, and the whole Bible is amazing, supernatural, incredible. When we find the Holy Spirit, we do find truly that the Bible is, the whole Bible is supernatural and awesome. But so many people focus on the Bible and on the Word of God, and they're so focused on that that they miss the most important thing. And I know this because that's how I grew up. That's the type of fellowship and churches that I was in. It's all, and I see it over and over again, on and on. And so that's why I, in these messages, I want to focus on the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God. That's the presence of Jesus, the anointing. You could listen to just, I could have a 1 minute message. Only one message in the whole year for 1 minute. And it would be, let's try it, 1 minute. The whole key in our walk with God is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's 100% of it. 100%. It would be better for us to just, to just seek Him. If we have Him already, wonderful. You have everything you need. You have it all, and now go and walk with Him, and you will do awesome, wonderful things, and in your own, in your personal life and in ministry, wonderful things are going to happen every day. If someone does not have that relationship with Him, and if they're wondering if they have it, that means they don't. Because when you meet Him, you'll know. Then it would be better for that person to just seek the Holy Spirit only, not do anything else. Don't go to an extreme, but seek Him till you find Him, and then that's when everything starts. Boom. I don't know if that was a minute, but that's the whole key. In the U.S., in the United States, and in other developed countries, we have so many blessings. You know, we have it relatively much easier than the rest of the world. And we have technology, we have every Christian thing in the world, every book, hundreds of books. We have every version of the Bible at our fingertips. We have all of these things, and many times all those things keep us from finding that one thing. That's the whole key. And this also lines up exactly with what the Bible says. He's a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. He has to deal with us directly. He's a great man of God. I think it was like Moody said, the Holy Spirit is of a particularly jealous and sensitive nature. He has to deal with it. What does that mean, jealous? Has to deal with us directly. He has to deal with you directly. No one else can come between you and Him. If anyone else or anything else is in between, essentially, we can't have a relationship with Him because He's an all-consuming fire. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Everything you have. What's the Jesus' main message? The kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Just get the kingdom. That's his, by far his main message. His second most popular topic, faith. When we find the kingdom, we get faith. When we find the kingdom, we get everything. The glory of the Lord. We all have hard things that we deal with. Challenges, problems, we all face them. And He's the answer to those. The presence of Jesus. so many people, a big obstacle to them, for them coming to Jesus Christ, is that they look at Christians and they look at Christianity and Catholicism, and just everything about it just turns them away and turns them off. And just like, as I've said before, if they listed their 1,000 favorite things to do, if they had them, or if they had 284 favorite things that they just kept listing them, being a Christian, you know, really it's a follower of Jesus, but being a follower of Jesus, it would never make the list. And yet he's the most exciting, thrilling, wonderful, awesome thing that we could ever do. Fellowship with him. And if we look at it from let's be wise and say, if someone really steps back and says, you know, there's a higher power, I'm going to seek and find this higher power. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to seek and find the higher power. They'll find him. He'll meet them more than halfway. But they have to do the common sense things. It's common sense. Humble ourselves before him. Seek him. And we will find him. Takeaway from this, I wanted to give some more about hell, some about demons, focusing more on the angels, amen, the angels who are awesome. And the Holy Spirit is the one who made these angels. He's greater than any. Jesus Christ himself made the angels. He made us. And I encourage you in these, if you're facing hard times, then he will meet your needs. He will, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, he will completely meet all those needs. And here's another verse. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah 55:1. We seek many, many other things, and he's the greatest thing we could ever seek, and it doesn't, he's no respecter of persons. Every person has access. It doesn't take money, doesn't take anything else. It's in the world, it's just our heart, our innermost being that we must give to him. But also, I want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has a ministry specifically for you. More than that, that relationship with him that's 100% of everything, that's what he really wants and has for you. And your ministry will flow from that automatically. Amen. We get it all wrong again. We go to the Bible, or we go try to do ministry, or we try to do something in our own strength, or we try to learn all about the Bible, or we, whatever it is, and though we're trying, at least someone's trying, but let's work hard and smart. Let's seek him, get the anointing, and then everything flows from that. Amen.